I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I am a believer, not a doubter. I am a doer, not just a hearer. And my life is the better after having heard the word of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing, and hearing by the word of God. All right, Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and the first verse. I'm in a series entitled Running with the Giants. And the backdrop of this entire series is taken from Hebrews 12 and 1, where he says, wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. The Bible says that there are those that have gone before us. One translation says that they're in the stands and they're cheering us on. And so there's those that have already gone before us. He says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which do easily beset us, and let us run with what class? Patience, the race that is set before us. And so this particular, when you say wherefore, you begin to have to ask the questions, you know, wherefore? What for? You got it? And it goes back to, it's just chapter 12 is an overrunning of chapter 11, because, of course, when they wrote the Bible, they put it in chapter and verses, but it wasn't like that. It was just wrote, you know, right behind each other. So he's talking about the greats of faith in Hebrews 11 and 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And when you drop down to verse 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must first believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And then he begins to explain what we call the greats of faith or the giants of faith, that through faith Abraham, and through faith Enoch, and through faith Moses, and by faith Sarah. You got it? And he said, and what more shall I say? For time, you know, would fail me to talk about Barak and Gideon. He's talking about all the giants of faith. And so we said, what would it look like if we had a series that talked about some of the different giants of faith? The Bible says that they're in the stands, they're cheering us on because we're down here still in the race running. What would it look like if they came down out of the stands and just ran one lap with us? What are the things that they would say? And so that's really what this series is all about. Last week we talked about Joseph. That was an incredible one. We talked about don't ever give up. Isn't that right? Don't give up on your dreams. And so today we are going to talk about my man Jacob. Yes, indeed. Yep, Jacob was the grandson of Abraham, and he had a very interesting life. There is more in the Bible about his life than most. You got it? And I think that's because he got in so much trouble, but I'm not sure. And so, you know, because when things didn't work the way Jacob wanted them to work, he would try to manipulate things to make them work better. And how many know anytime you do that, you go further in the opposite direction? Isn't that right? That's just for all of us. And so he tricked his brother into giving him his birthright. He deceived his daddy to make him think he was his brother so he could have the blessing. I mean, you know, Jacob just kind of went down the wrong road. But thanks be unto God, who's a God of grace and a God of mercy, that helped Jacob kind of come around. You understand what I'm saying? And so I think that after Jacob has lived his whole life, he would say some things to us. Now, I'm going to give you one main point, and then that Jacob would say to you, and then give you some underlining points after all of that. They just put it up on the screen. That's it. I think the main thing Jacob would say, he would say, when life is not turning out the way you hope, let God have control of your life. That's the bottom line. When life is not turning out the way you want, let God have control of your life. Anybody in the room besides me ever tried to do it their own way? I have two hands up because I try to do it my own way. And I realized that doing it my own way just does not work. Frank Sinatra, it worked for him, but it didn't work for me. You got it? Y'all do know I did it my way. You know, it just, you know, it didn't work for me. And so I think that Jacob would really say, hey, you know, God's got to be in control of your life. And we'll never really see the fullness of God in our lives until God is really and fully in control of our lives. When I think that Jacob would not stop there. Jacob is probably hopefully a teacher like me. And he would tell you when God is in control, several things would happen. How many things? Several. And so I think that number one, Jacob would teach us that when God is in control, that you will get a new strength. When you really give it to God and allow God to be in control of your life, there is a strength that will come. There's a grace that will come. I'm going to be reading from the book of Genesis, the 32nd chapter. I apologize, I didn't tell you to go there earlier. Genesis 32, I'm going to start at verse 24, because Jacob has this encounter with God, and it changes everything. And how many know just one encounter with God will absolutely change your life? So the Bible says, this left Jacob all alone in the camp. Before I go any further, let me explain to you why Jacob was left all alone in the camp. Jacob was a trickster. Jacob was doing all these things. Things didn't work out. He runs, goes to his mama's brother Laban, hang out with him for a while. That did good for a while until Laban got really upset with him. You got it? And so the Lord says, what you need to do is go back home, get things right, and I'll bless you. You got it? And so he makes his mind up that I'm going to go back home, but he knew that his brother Esau was probably going to kill him. That's at least what he was thinking. Because, you know, I just really messed up with my brother. And so what he did was, he had servants he had servants and I want to say stocks, but he didn't have stocks, and flocks. Yeah. And so I don't know where my mind is right now. And so so he had, you know, cattle and sheep and all these things and servants. And he said, and a big old family, he said, I'm going to divide them in half. One's going to go one way. I'm going to send another one another way. So that way, if Esau comes, he can only kill half of them. That's the bottom line, you got. So you can see he didn't quite live the exact best life, you know, but God is a merciful God, right? And so this left Jacob all alone in the camp. And sometimes God has to get everybody away from you so he can get your attention. Sometimes the only way to have a real encounter with God is to get everybody away. You got it? So God's voice can be the loudest voice in your life. Does that make sense? Sometimes you have to get out of all these other distractions and things. And so the Bible says, watch this, and a man, angel of the Lord, came and wrestled with him until dawn began to break. When the man saw that he would not win the match, now this man is talking about the angel of the Lord, all right? So let me start over. And a man or angel of the Lord came and wrestled with him until dawn began to break. And when the angel of the Lord saw that he would not win the match, watch this, he touched Jacob's hip. He did what? It just said he touched his hip, right? He touched his hip and wrenched it out of sight. All he did was just touch it, and Jacob's whole hip just went like that. He says, Jacob, you think you have strength, but you have just really met the real strength in your life. You got it? So Jacob is like mesmerized because he's having this encounter with God. He realizes, I've gotten a hold of something that I've never quite had a hold of before. And so now the angel of the Lord says, you got to let me go. Jacob's like, I am not going to let you go until you bless me. I have just had an encounter with God. Kind of like we were just in worship a few minutes ago, and I had my mind made up. God, I'm staying right here until you bless my soul. I'm staying right here until I know that the peace of God that surpasses all understanding is guarding my heart and mind through Christ Jesus. So Jacob realized he was having an encounter with God, and he's like, I'm not letting go. Even though he didn't exactly understand, he knew that God was doing something in his life. And so what happens is when you have an encounter with God, God wants to give you strength. But the key is you've got to learn how to do it God's way. To the degree you do it God's way, you'll get God results. And I think that's why Jesus taught us in Matthew, the 11th chapter, verses 28 and 29. He says, don't try to do it your way. He says, instead, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you, I will give you. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to bring every person in this place to a place of rest. I'm going to teach you about rest in a few minutes. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and I am lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. He says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And so he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And what that really means is that it fits. And what God is saying, that if you'll do it my way, you'll get my results. And so let me talk to you a little bit about a yoke, all right? Now, when you begin to understand a yoke is really just like a big wooden piece. You got it? That's not triangle. That's not square. That's rectangular, praise the Lord, all right? And so it has two holes on the inside of it, and then you would put it on the oxen, and it would guide the oxen. It would do what?
Guide
the oxen. It would do what? God, don't forget that. It would guide the oxen. But one thing most people don't know, that back during those days, there was two types of yokes. There was just the regular yoke that you would put on them. It was what we call just the Walmart brand. You understand what I'm saying? It's a one size fits all. You just put it on, you got it. But then they also had, you know, I've been told, and I need the moms to help me in the room, that there are some things you can go to Walmart, and the Walmart brand is okay relative to the what quote unquote name brand. But there are some things that you can't buy Walmart brand. You need to buy the right brand. Does that make sense? Some of y'all tell me, what are some things where, like, you need to buy the good brand and not the Walmart brand? Cheese. Okay, well, that, say no more. I am a Velveeta man. You understand? I am a Kraft man. You got it? Sargento. Yes, yeah. Lady has switched me to Sargento. And so, anyways, there is the Walmart brand, and then there is the Target, because we don't go to Target, we go to Target, you know. But anyways, so anyways, there's the Walmart brand, and the problem with the Walmart brand is when you put it on the oxen, as he guides them, what happens is because it doesn't fit them the right way, they begin to get sores, they begin to get bruised, you got it, because that's all they're doing. But some of them would actually have a carpenter, and I think that's why Jesus kind of said this, because he was a carpenter, and he understood this. And so he says that, no, my yoke, it fits. My yoke is easy, because they would have carpenters come that would actually measure the oxen and build one that would, when you fit on them, it fit exactly right. So that way, watch this, as he guided them with his yoke, you got it, it was easier for them to go through. And so that's why God says, if you do it my way, you'll get my results, and my results are rest. My results are rest. Let me talk to you a little about rest. Rest is not inactivity, all right? Some people say, I need to get some rest. I'm going to sleep. You understand? And that's good, but that's not what this rest is talking about. Rest is not inactivity, but rather a condition of your soul, all right? So it's, watch this, it's while you're working, it's not wearing you out. You got it. While you're working, it's not wearing you out. And so what happens is, because sometimes people are working and it's wearing them out. People are trying to live for God and it's wearing them out. People are trying to do the right thing and it's just wearing them out. And God says, quit trying to do it everybody else's way, because everybody else thinks that they have a way and they have a revelation and all those kind of things. He said, just start doing it my way. And if you'll do it my way, you'll get my results. Sometimes you hear me tell you, quit hanging around turkeys and start hanging around eagles. You understand? Like, if you ever want to soar, you got to leave the turkeys alone and you got to hang around with the eagles, right? Well, as I was studying this week, I began to look at eagles and I began to understand something that goes along with Hebrews 12:1. He says, let us run with patience, right? And so what happens is, watch this. What he's saying is, wait on God. Don't get ahead of God, because sometimes, like pastor, there's been times in my life, I just got ahead of God. And then when I get up here, it's not working. I'm like, God, what's going on? He said, son, because that's because I'm back here. It's February. You're not supposed to be there till May. You got it? And so I watch this. And so God is not going to line it with me. I've got to line it with God. Does that make sense? And so what happens is, an eagle, when he knows that it's time to fly, watch this, the article I read says that he doesn't take off right away, even though he knows it's time to fly. He has this patience because he's waiting for something called thermal air to come. And thermal air has a momentum. It's warm air that will push you up. So what happens is, have you ever seen an eagle fly? An eagle, watch this, will take a big old flap. And watch this, just begin to soar, and you, and as you look, you're still looking, and he ain't flapped no more. You got it? And so that is what rest is. Rest is why I take one flap, you got it, and God is pushing me. Have you ever seen a little bird, when he takes off, he can't go 3 feet, he's like. And God said, that's what you look like sometimes when you don't do it my way. You're trying to go like this and go like this. He said, but if you wait on me, I will give you spiritual momentum that will cause you to rise, and you'll be able to flow, watch this, and go right into my will if you let me guide you in life. So watch this. You have to make it up in your mind. You are going to live, watch now, not on your own power, but on the power of the Holy Spirit, and that will give you rest. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so you've got to make it up in your mind. If I do it God's way, I'm going to get God results. So when God is in control, number one, you'll get a new strength. I'll get a new strength. And then number two, when God is in control, you'll get a new identity. Everybody say new identity. Yeah, when God is in control, you'll get a new identity. Now go to Genesis 32 and drop down to verse 27. Watch this. So now they're having this conversation, the angel of the Lord and Jacob. And he says, "What is your name?" The angel asked. And he replied, "Jacob." Watch this. Jacob means trickster. So he says, "I'm a trickster. I've been doing it all my life. From the time me and my brother were coming out the womb, he was coming first. I grabbed his leg to pull him back so I could come first. That's just what I do." And watch this. He says, "Your name will no longer be Jacob or trickster," the angel told him. He says, "From now on, you will be called Israel." Israel means prince with God. He says, "Because you have fought with God and with men and have won." All right. Now, I love this because anytime you have an encounter with God and you give God complete control of your life, God will give you a new identity. And we see it all through Scripture. You got it. He changed his name from Abram to Abraham. You got it. And he did it with Sarah, and he did it with others. You got it. And so now I love this because when the Bible says that he calls those things that be not as though they were, the reason God can call those things that be not as though they were is because he has the power to make them become what he called them. Does that make sense? And so I like to say it like that. Now, if you're taking notes, write this down. If you're not taking notes, write this down, all right? Now, if you're going to put it on social media, make sure that you put it on the right way. Because you got to see this. God doesn't see actualities. He sees possibilities. God doesn't see actuality. What do you mean? He doesn't see actualities. He sees possibilities. Even if I'm in a situation where I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing, where I'm not at the right place, maybe I haven't been obeying God, maybe, you know, just whatever. And we've all, every one of us, including me, have been at different places in our life. God doesn't give up on you. God doesn't throw you away. God doesn't say forget about you, because God doesn't see actualities. He sees what's possible for your life. Does that make sense? Jesus did it in John, the first chapter, and the 42nd verse. He says, "And he brought him to Jesus." Jesus looked at him. He did what? He looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John." Now, that means quiet listener. You got it? Actually, the word is translated listener, but when you do some more word searches, it says that it's a quiet, passive person. So let me make sure that I'm theologically correct. It means listener. And so he says, "You are Simon, son of John," which means listener. He says, "You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter, which means rock. So watch how this guy shows up, has one encounter with God. Jesus takes him from a passive, quiet listener to a person where he says, "This is the type of person I'm going to build my church on." Just like that. So God will begin to change your identity. You got to get this. When you fully submit your life to God, he'll give you a new identity. When you fully submit your life to God, he will give you a new identity. But sometimes that means that I might need to leave some certain environments and leave some certain places and leave some certain people. And I'm not hating on anybody, and I'm not hating on anybody. But how many know environment is so very important? Like, being in the right environment makes all the difference in the world. If I had time, I would begin to tell you about the man who had champion race dogs. And he would race these champion dogs. And everywhere he go, Alaska, all over the place, all over the world, his dogs would always win. And over the years, he began to retire some of his dogs because, you know, they had been through so much and they had raced so much, and they started limping around. And, you know, one of the dogs only had one leg because he was in an accident. And so what happened was, he had, you know, this big pen of all his champion dogs, but he didn't want to give up on his old dogs because he loved them and he appreciated all the races that they did race and everything that they did for him. So he built another pen for them. And so you have the champion race dogs in 1 p.m., and then you have the retired dogs that have kind of been through a lot, and they're kind of broken and, you know, kind of bruised and kind of been through some things. But a storm came through, and as the storm came through, the storm messed up the pen where the retired dogs and the broken and the bruised dogs were. And so the man comes. He says, I can fix it, but you're going to have to do something with your dogs. He takes the dogs, and he goes, and he puts them in the pen with the champion dogs. A couple weeks go by, and as he's coming out to check on the man, to see the man, you know, working on the pen, and he's letting the dogs out and those kind of things, he noticed that the retired dogs, the dogs that were broken, the dogs that were bruised, even the dog that only had 3 legs, were beginning to run faster than they ever ran before. And they begin to do things that they never did before. And he finally realized, it's because I took them out of this environment and put them over here in an environment of champions, and they started thinking a little bit differently. And when you get in the right environment, when you get in a winning environment, you'll start winning. When you get in an environment of faith, you'll start walking by faith. When you get in an environment, watch this, where you believe anything is possible, anything will become possible in your life. Does that make sense? That's a good place to clap, and you almost missed it. All right, and so number one, y'all getting blessed? Okay, good. I'm on my last point. Number one, when God is in control, you'll get a new strength. Number two, you'll get a new identity. And then number three, you'll get a new joy. Now, I'm just telling you, when God starts doing things in your life and you start allowing him to lead you and guide you and those kind of things, and you get in the right environment, I mean, you just get a new joy. Genesis 32 and 29, Jacob starts talking. He says, please tell me your name, Jacob said. And the angel of the Lord said, why do you want to know my name? And then watch this. And then the Bible says that the angel of the Lord blessed Jacob in that spot. Now I want to remind you of a series that I taught, I think it was last year, on the fruits of the Spirit. Was that last year I taught on the fruits of the Spirit, or the year before? Oh, year before. Okay, well, anyways, year before last, praise the Lord. And so I taught on the fruits of the Spirit. I'll just kind of give you one, Matthew 5 and 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. Remember, we went through all of those, right? And we said that the word blessed is from the word makarios, and it means happy, but it doesn't mean a circumstantial happy. It talks about a joy. It talks about a joy. And so anytime, watch this now, anytime you have an encounter with God and you begin to allow God to have control of your life, there's just a joy. There's just this sense of undisturbed peace and contentment, coupled with an anticipation and expectation that, you know, that God is moving in my life. So even though I'm not where I want to be, I thank God I'm not where I used to be, and I can see God doing some amazing things in my life. Does anyone have that testimony? I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be, and I can see God doing some amazing things in my life. So he'll give you this joy. So he'll give me strength, he'll give me a new identity, and then he'll give me joy. Well, that's about it for me. I think that at this point we are done with our lap. At this point, we're done with our lap, and now Jacob is heading off to go back into the stands, because remember I said he could run a lap with you. And I think Jacob, if you remember Joseph last week, when Joseph was going into the stands, he said, oh, wait a minute, I just want to tell you one more thing or three. You know that was funny. And I think that these three things that he would tell us, and I'm closing, I'm done. I think that he would tell us these three things. I think, number one, he would tell us that brokenness precedes breakthrough. I think he would tell us that brokenness precedes breakthrough. Nothing can ever happen until you give in to his way. Nothing can ever happen until you give in to his way. Now, hear me. God doesn't like perfection, but he expects honesty. He doesn't expect perfection, but he expects honesty. He expects someone to say, when things aren't working out, God, this is not working out. I tried to do it on my own, but I need you. I need you every minute of every second of every hour of every day. I need you to help me. I need you to lead me. I need you to guide me. I need you in my life. Psalms 51 and 17 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. Watch this. Oh, God, you will not despise. So anytime I come to God and I know I've made a mistake or I know I've messed up, I don't have to come with my head down. I can come with my head up as long as I have a broken and contrite heart. You got it. And so he says, God will not despise that. What does God despise? 1 Peter 5 and 6 says, God despises or he opposes the proud. But he shows favor to who? The humble. So God resisteth the proud, but he shows favor to the humble. All right? I think the second thing that he would say, the first thing he would say is that brokenness precedes breakthrough. So I'm gonna have enough humility to say, God, that's my bad. And that I need you in my life. I need you to help me. I need you to lead me. I need you to guide me because I've been trying to do it my own way and I need to do it your way. I think number two, what he would tell us is you must lose yourself to find yourself. You must lose yourself to find yourself. Mark the 8th chapter and the 31st verse in the Message translation. There it is on the screen. He says, calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, watch this now, anyone who intends to come with me has to let me lead. Is that what the Bible says? Ooh. Well, you're going to love the next part. He says, you're not in the driver's seat. I am. He said, come here, Benny, quick. He said, you're not in the driver's seat. I am. Stand right there. So what happens is, I'm not God, okay? So I ain't even going, well, that was a good church until he did an analogy at the end, said he was God. I'm not God. Just an example. And so what happens is, God talks to us. Ben is representative of the body. He says, you're not in the driver's seat. He says, I am. So you have to allow me to lead you and guide me. So you have to walk with me. And even though it looks enticing to the left, don't go to the left. Walk with me. And even though it looks enticing to the right, don't go to the right. Follow me. Now go left, Ben. So watch this. So all of us have went left. Sharp left. He do need Jesus. And God says, no, that's not what I want you to do. Because that's not the plan. The plan over there is death and destruction. The plan over there is depression and insecurity. The plan over there is hopelessness. But thanks be unto God who allows you to make U-turns and get right back on track and say, God, that was my fault. That was my mess up. He said, no problem, because repentance doesn't put you at the back of the line. It just puts you back in line. He says, you're not in the driver's seat. I am. Let me lead you. Let me guide you to a place of peace and prosperity. Give him a big hand. Number three, and I'm done. When you find yourself on God's terms, you'll find fulfillment. I think that's the third thing Jacob would tell you. When you find yourself on whose terms? God's terms. So it's not my way, but it's his way. And Pastor, you know, when I teach this stuff, in no way am I condescending or trying to beat somebody up. Because I've been down these roads before. Made terrible mistakes, had dumb days. I don't know if you know what a dumb day is. A dumb day is like, oh, why did I do that? Dumb. Like, Lord, just please forgive me. I don't even know what else to say to you. I'm embarrassed right now. Just make sure you get me into heaven, please, Jesus. I mean, I'm just saying, and I'm transparent enough to tell you I've had days like that in my life. But thanks be unto God. So watch what he says in Romans, the 12th chapter in the first verse. So here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, you're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, you're walking around life, he said, and place it before God as an offering. In other words, I'm yours, Lord. Everything I got, everything I am, everything I'm not. Watch what he says. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. And sometimes we don't like to embrace what God does because God likes to correct and he likes to fix, but we have to understand that whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Parents, the reason you correct your children is not because you hate them, it's because you love them and because you know what's best for them. So all my children in the room, whether you're 2 or 22, when your parents say, hey bud, hey son, hey daughter, no, don't do it this way, do it that way. They're not trying to take you down the wrong road. They've already been down this road. See, your parents are your greatest mentors, contrary to popular belief. I like LeBron, but he's not really a mentor. He's a basketball player. And he does a lot of great things, so I'm not knocking him. But just hear me now. I'm talking from a spiritual standpoint of view right now. Your parents are your greatest mentors. What is mentoring? Mentoring is taking somebody down a road that you've already been on. Dad's already been down the road. Mom's already been down the road. And so you got to follow them. Well, Pastor, I didn't have a dad in my life. That's okay, because he said, I'm a father to the fatherless. And then he gives you guys like me. You got it. And some of these other great men like Elder C, and that you can come to and you can talk, and we can give you wisdom and guide. And that is why we're trying our best to make sure we live our lives in a way, because we understand that you're looking at us. And we understand we're not perfect, but every day we're going to give God our very best. He says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. He says, instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. He says, unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. Bottom line, when you do it God's way, you'll get God results. And so, even if you're here today, because I know I knew I was going to teach on this probably about Tuesday. I was going another route, and I don't know why I'm trying to get this other character, and it ain't working. And then, but I'm going to know that that is because, watch this, I can't do what I want to do. I can't teach on what I want to teach. I got to teach on what God wants me to teach. You got it? And so when I begin, I said, ooh, that's a little bit of a tough lesson. And then and the Holy Spirit says, I don't convict because I don't care. I convict because I do care. So this is the wonderful thing I love about God. He's one of the only somebodies I know that even if you mess up totally, fall flat in your face and come to him, he said, ain't no problem. He said, God, I'm sorry. He said, okay, no problem. We throw it into the sea of forgetfulness to remember it no more. Because it's amazing, you know, you can live right and do right, you know, doing good for a long time and do one bad thing. Isn't it amazing how everybody remembers the one bad thing, but they don't remember all the good things that you've done in life? But thanks be unto God that says, no, I give you a brand new day with brand new mercies. So when you mess up, I don't want you to run away from me. I want you to run to me. And in the meantime, if people along the way look at you funny and fall off, let them fall off. I'll raise up new people that will love you and help you and guide you and mentor you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, believers are praying all over the building. Father, we thank you for your word.